Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time of worship this morning. Thank you, Lord, for using us and for giving us eternal life. Lord, allow us to be able to remember the cross again this morning. And Lord, if there's anything that is bothering us, Lord, we ask that you will let it loose. Lord, allow us to be able to turn our eyes to the cross once again this morning. And to, Lord, realize that you are giving us our lives to live each day. We pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I have been able to give messages now once or twice a month, and this is the third time I'm giving a message this morning. The first time I talked about exactly what Christianity was, and I talked about Jesus and who Jesus was the last time. Today, I'm talking about what is the meaning of Jesus' death. So let's take a look at that. There was once a family, and the mother and the daughter were fighting. And so the mother said, if you don't just get your act together, then I'm just going to get more gray hair because of you. Do you understand that gray hair is the result of children just causing their parents trouble? So you need to do better. And so the daughter said to her mom, oh, so that's why grandma has all this gray hair, right? So you can see how both the granddaughter and the mother were probably causing problems for her mom. And so you can see how in families, people, you know, are like each other. And there are some families here in the church today. And of course, they're very much like each other in ways. And it's not just your face, but also like how you walk or how you act and so on, mannerisms. So children are greatly impacted by their parents. For example, small babies, even though they can't speak, they can see and they can listen to exactly what their parents are saying. As for myself, my first son was speaking since the day he was born. He was just always talking. However, my second son, it took him a while to be able to begin talking. And finally, recently, he started talking. The first word he said, though, was heave-ho. And so it's probably that he heard me and my wife, you know, saying that often, and he was, you know, just putting them down like heave-ho, heave-ho. I mean, and so it's likely that he heard us saying that so many times, and that's why that was his first word. You know, I was kind of hoping he'd have a better first word, but that's what happened. And so now I realize I had a big responsibility and blew it. As for influence and having influence on others, there's people in this world that have a lot of impact on others. For example, in the Times magazine, it mentions the 100 most influential people of the past year. And of these people, there was Japanese people mentioned. For example, tennis player Naomi Osaka and the journalist Shiori Ito. If you're looking back over history, you can see that there were other people who had a huge impact on society as well. The greatest impact, of course, was by Jesus Christ. There's no doubt. As we were talking about who Jesus was in the last time, we talked about how he has impacted not just history, but, you know, art and music and all kinds of different elements of life. Those people who have been impacted by Jesus Christ are just, you know, have really changed, because if you took Jesus' impact out of the world, there'd be like nothing left. It's not just Jesus' life that has impacted people, but also his death. It's likely that the New Testament that you have, or as you can see in the New Testament you have, it's written about a third of it is talking directly about Jesus and his death recorded in that. So why is it that a third of the Gospels was spent dedicated to talking about Jesus' death? And what is it that is important to know about his death? Today, I'd like to talk with you and think with you about this topic. First, let's look at the point about the problem of sin which we face. In Romans, Paul said the following, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." the Bible says that our ancestors, Adam and Eve, have passed on sin to all of us. And there's no exceptions to this. As for yourselves, if you are told that you're a sinner, what do you think? Some people may think, well, I've never been caught by the police. I'm always trying to be nice to people. And so, like, how could you tell me that I'm a sinner? That's rude. So why is it that people are not able to realize that they're a sinner? One of these reasons is that they are comparing themselves to somebody who is a bigger sinner than themselves. There's once a person who went on a trip in the winter. He got on the train and he was looking at the scenery from the train window. And there was this white house that he saw passing by. And he's like, oh, this is such a beautiful white house. And he's like, oh, I wish I could live there. His trip finished and he was going back on the train and he saw the same house going back, but it was completely different. He had a totally different impression. The reason why was that on his way back, the snow that was covering this house the other day was all melted away, and all that was left was just this like run-down old building. In the same way, if we are comparing ourselves to some like criminal who's way more sinful than us, we might not think we're that bad. However, if we compare ourselves to holy God, who has no sin, and we have to stand before him, then what would the situation be then? It would just be looking at this house I was talking about and realizing what a mess we are. So also, why is it that people don't realize they're a sinner? Well, one other reason is that there's a standard of sin in the Bible and there's a standard of sin in the society, and they're completely different. The standard in the Bible is a lot larger of a concept, and it also impacts your thoughts and what's in your heart. For example, if you want to just kill somebody in your heart or injure somebody in your heart or steal something in your heart or something like that, even those things are considered to be sin according to the Bible. There's a French philosopher by the name of Montaigne, and he said that if anyone has, anyone who's sinned in their heart would, you know, be effectively put on the death sentence, and so this would apply to pretty much everybody in the world. If we really look into our hearts, we can realize that, yes, we really do have this sin issue in our hearts. The Bible also says that as a result of sin, we have two big problems. Two of those problems are, one, that we lose our hope for eternity. Paul says the following in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This death he's talking about here is not a physical death. This is talking about death after that, where we're eternally separated from God. After people die, they have to deal with their sin, and they're judged with their sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And the second point is the result of sin actually breaks apart our lives. Our lives just fall apart because of it. Sin has a tendency to make it something customary in our lives. For example, in John 8:34, it says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." In the entertainment world, recently there's been issues with drugs and alcohol, and that's true around the world as well. Those things are things that even people want to quit. They can't. It's just because it's a custom of their lives, and it just ruins their life as a result. Being a slave of sin is not something that just affects specific people. For example, it also applies to people who are just self-centered, people who are arrogant or haughty, people like to slander or tell lies about others. That also applies in those situations. So if that becomes just a custom in your life, that, you know, can destroy your life as well. Sin really bends and destroys our lives. It breaks apart our human relationships. And as a result, it really puts stress on the society. In the 1900s, in an English newspaper called The Times, it talked about, it actually sent a letter to people, and there was a question. It said, "There's a lot of problems in the world. So what do you think what is wrong with the world? And so how would you respond if you were asked this question? There was one famous person who responded and said, well, politics are the problem. Another writer said, the quality of the teachers is the problem. Another person said that the lethargic youth are the problem. So a lot of people had different opinions about exactly what the problem with the world was. However, a Christian writer said the following in response. He was by the name of Chesterton. He said, what's wrong with the world? Well, he said, me. I am the problem. He said that his sin was the problem. He was acknowledging that truth. In the present society, it's facing many problems, divorce, child abuse, adultery, and political issues and environmental problems too. All of these issues, if you really look down to the core of it, it's all to do with sin. So we have to really think about and seriously think about our problem with sin, because it will ruin our eternal destination and our present life as well. In the Bible, it talks about sin, and it says that there's an answer to this problem. Let's look at the second point today. It says, Jesus' death on the cross. God knows that we were headed toward destruction, and that saddened his heart. That is why 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. At the end of his time here on earth, he gave his life to resolve this problem of sin for all of us. He took the punishment of all of us upon himself. That's what the Bible teaches. The death on the cross that Jesus experienced was actually considered to be the most severe punishment for a prisoner in those days. First, a criminal would be placed on the cross, and they would have nails pounded into their hands and legs, and then they would be the cross would be set upright. So the body weight of each prisoner would be held in place by three points of their body. Their hands would be outweighed, and their lungs would become compressed in this position, and so they would try to push up using their feet to breathe. Then they would be able to breathe. However, after a while, their legs would start hurting, and so they would have to just put their weight back on their hands, and then it would get hard, difficult to breathe, and so they would repeat this. The criminals put on the cross would do this up and down movement, and then eventually they would just lose their physical strength and die by suffocation. So actually, people who had a lot of physical strength would actually suffer the most, because they could live the longest in that situation. As for Jesus Christ, the most difficult part of this death was not the physical pain experienced, but it was rather the separation from his Father God. Jesus Christ took all the sin of all people upon himself, and because of this, he was completely separated from God. It was the situation of something that was completely one, being completely separated. And that's something that we can't even imagine. So why is it that Jesus Christ died on the cross and chose to die on the cross? It's because God loved us so much that he wanted us to be saved. In 1950, there was the Korean War. The Communist Army came down from the north, and there was a pastor and his wife from the U.S. who were trying to escape at this time. When they were trying to escape the situation, they went by this bridge, and when they were passing the bridge, they heard this baby crying. They stopped, and they listened, and they found that underneath the bridge, that's where the sound was coming from. So they hurried and they went under the bridge. Under there, they found a baby crying. Next to the crying baby, they found this woman who was dead. And the strange thing is that she wasn't wearing like barely any clothes at all. They finally figured out what happened, because they realized that she was his mother, and that the night before had been extremely cold. The mom realized that her child would die in the cold, so she put all of her clothes on her child to keep it warm. And the mother gave her life to keep the child warm that night. Jesus Christ showed his love for us in the same way on the cross, only it was way huger extent than what this mother's love was. In the same way, though, Jesus Christ gave his life, he gave everything so that we may have eternal life. The third point today is the result of the cross. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, was able to resolve our problem of sin. So, in order to receive this resolution to our problem, what do we need to do? Well, Jesus has already done his work and it's finished, but we have something we have to do on our part to receive it. The Bible explains this actually very simply. All we need to do is to accept this truth with gratitude. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4, it says the following: "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So, when we realize that Jesus Christ took all of our sin upon him on the cross, he died, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day, and we can accept this as truth and with thanksgiving, then we too can receive this present from God. We can receive this present of eternal life. That's one of the central points of the Bible. When we receive this salvation, our sins can be completely forgiven and our relationship with God can be restored. What is it also that we can achieve or gain from this? We can receive eternal life and blessing. The second point is that we can receive various types of resolution on this earth as well. So we are slowly reversed from sins. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So Jesus Christ takes our broken relationships, our broken human relationships, and starts working in them after we believe in him. Most human relationships are broken for one particular reason. It's because somebody won't forgive another. There's a person by the name of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and he wrote a story about a broken relationship of a man and wife. And the wife was responsible for taking care of household matters, but one day she forgot to change the soap, and the husband like really got on her case more than he needed to for this. And he's like, "You know, because of you, there wasn't enough soap in the bath," and he just went on and on and on. And, you know, the wife was, you know, realized she'd forgotten, and if she had noticed, if she had been told about it for, you know, sooner, she would have done something. Anyway, but because of this, for 7 months, they slept in different rooms. When they ate, they just ate in silence. After that, they were able to slowly get their lives back together, but in their elder years, they were very careful never to bring up the subject ever again. And it was just because this issue brought up like a landmine in their relationship. There's a person, a writer by the name of Mary Carr, and in her writing, she also dealt with a similar issue in the Liars Club book she wrote. And the issue was how much money the wife had spent on sugar, and the husband was really upset about this. And so for 40 years, they wouldn't talk to each other over how much money was spent on sugar. One time, the father brought a saw, and he cut the house in half with a saw. And he threw it over to the side and just lived in a different area than his wife. So why is it that just one bar of soap and how much money was spent on sugar can ruin a whole marriage relationship. It's because the man and wife in these situations didn't have the humility to forgive each other over a simple issue. When you think of this, you can think it's really a stupid thing. However, you can realize that in human relationships and families and with friends, you can realize that such trivial issues without forgiveness can lead to huge breaking down of such great relationships. However, because when we come in contact with Jesus' forgiveness on the cross, we are then able to finally have this ability to be able to forgive others because we know how much we've been forgiven ourselves. This is because we understand the true meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness can send light into broken relationships. In the most difficult situations, it's actually situations for forgiveness are difficult for those who are the victim in a situation. However, if you don't choose to forgive, it actually breaks your life down. Your heart becomes corroded, and anger ruins your health. There's one person who said the following. They said, if you don't forgive someone, it's just like you're drinking poison and hoping that the other person's going to die. The only way you can rid yourself of this anger and trouble is to forgive. And this is actually really difficult to do. In order to forgive a perpetrator, it's a very difficult thing to do. However, forgiveness has huge power. It allows you and the other person to both be released. So, forgiveness allows for this amazing power to be released in such situations. In closing, I would like to share one more testimony. It's a testimony of Josh McDowell, a Campus Crusades for Christ evangelist. So I'd like to talk about him today. In Michigan, in the U.S., he was born and grew up on a farm. And he'd always wondered his whole life, like, where do people come from and where would they go when they died? And just always wondered about that. However, he was never able to find an answer to this question. When he went to university, he was able to meet up with a Christian group and ended up going to their meetings. And at first, he was kind of opposed to it, but after a while, he started to realize the answer to this question for what he'd been asking so long was in the Bible, so he actually decided to believe in Christ. As soon as he believed in Christ, there wasn't anything like magical that happened to him. However, in walking with his life in Christ, he was able to receive a resolution to various problems. He was able to get resolved of different issues. And he was also able to help others as well. He'd always been short-tempered and was always just really quick to start fighting with other people. But after becoming a Christian, that went away. After a year and a half of believing, his lifestyle all changed. What changed the most was his heart of hatred that he had had before. He said the following. He said he was just full of hatred in his early years, and this hatred he had was mainly toward his father. His father, who was an alcoholic, was often very violent toward him and violent toward his mother as well. He would often see his mother just beaten on the ground outside, and so he determined that when he got older, he would kill his father over this. He said that he desired to kill his father, you know, as soon as he got older, and he was just thinking every night how to do it and not get caught by the police. After before graduating from high school, 2 months before, his mother was crying, and she said to him, "You know, I can't take your can't put up with your father anymore. You know, after you graduate, I'm just gonna let go. I'm gonna die. I know I'll hang on until you graduate, but after that, I just can't take it anymore." Two months later, he graduated from high school, and the following Friday, his mother committed suicide. So this caused him to get even more angry at his father. And if he hadn't gone off to college, he probably would have killed his father right then. However, after starting to believe in Jesus Christ, a miracle occurred in his heart. He says that he continues by in his story, saying that after he had believed in Jesus Christ for 5 months, he was looking at his father and he said, "I love you." And it wasn't that he actually loved his father or wanted to forgive him. It was just like he just had to say it to his father. After a while, his father came back into his room and he was sober. It was really weird. And he said to him, "You know, the other day you said you love me. So how is it that you could really love a father like myself?" I responded to him and I said, "Well, 6 years ago, I despised you and I actually wanted to kill you. But after believing in Jesus Christ, I received God's forgiveness and that has totally changed my heart. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on in my heart right now, but I know that I'm being changed by God. And I know that God has taken away this anger and hatred I have toward you." As his father said, "I want God to do the same thing he has done in your heart to mine. I want to believe if that's what he can do." And so that's on that very day, his father believed in Jesus. Thereafter, his father abruptly quitted drinking alcohol, which he had continued to do for 40 years. And 14 months later, unfortunately, 14 months later, these alcohol drinking complications ended up leading to his death. However, the 14 months that he was able to live, he was able to have a huge testimony for Christ. And people all over the city could see his dramatic change, and over 100 of them in that city believed in Jesus Christ because of his changed life. So Josh, when he believed in Jesus Christ, he was able to receive a release from various things such as hatred and anger. He was able to experience such miracles of forgiveness. His father, too, was able to repent and also believe. In this way, they were both able to experience huge changes and revelations. So why is it that they were able to forgive others? It's because they realized that they themselves were forgiven by our holy God. When we look at the cross, we can see the biggest example of love ever expressed. And so we can love anyone and forgive anyone because of that. I hope you will remember that again today. And if there's anyone of you who have human relationship problems in your lives, then I encourage you to look to Jesus Christ as you're walking with him and realize that there will be miracles of healing in your lives as well. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of worship this morning. Jesus Christ, we and his death were the topic of our message this morning. And we know that it is because of your love, Lord, that our problem with sin and our eternal destruction that awaited us has been, the problem of that has been resolved on the cross completely over 2,000 years ago. We know that Jesus Christ took all of our sin punishment upon himself, and after 3 days he was resurrected, providing us with the path to eternal life. Allow us, Lord, to remember that and to be thankful for that again today. Lord, we will have resurrected lives here and a resolution to various problems in our lives through your believing in you. So we thank you so much for that. A lot of human relationships are broken, unfortunately, in this life between friends and family members and so on. And there's various difficulties, all because people won't forgive each other. We ask, Jesus, that you will allow us to be used by you to help resolve these problems. And Lord, we ask that as you are always with us, we will always remember that and help to see other resolution in human relationships. Lord, we always can have hope in you. Allow us to remember that again today. We pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray a moment in silence.